In Buenos Aires.
Okay. All right, so the internet's pretty good there.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad.
All right, I'll have Ernie work with you on that. Just real quick, Joel Bowman, he got back to me, and we'll probably have him on next week.
Oh, good. You'll find he's a very good interview.
Right.
And a very good resource for you. Also, let me talk to you. Joel will mention this, too. We're starting a news is going to be very unique. I'm wondering whether there's some way that you, what's your guys' business model for income? How do you?
I'll have Ernie talk to you on that. Here, let me just put him on. Okay, hold on.
Okay,
Douglas, how are you?
I'm good, Ernie. It's nice to hear your charming voice. It's an excellent radio voice.
Thank you. I'm sorry. What were you saying? Who's Bowman? What are we talking about?
Okay, he's a longtime associate of mine, and you're going to have him on, Donna says, next week. You'll find he's a very good interview subject, very sound and interesting.
On what issue?
But here's what I want to ask you. What is your revenue model?
Subscribers, donations, kind of a Patreon thing over the years. Peter and Tony Marie are primary.
Okay. Because Joel and I, and John Hunt, who's my co-author on the novels, are starting a new newsletter that I think is going to be unique in many ways, and I wonder if we can co-venture that somehow and generate some serious revenue for you.
Yeah, I'm always, Doug Casey says he wants to something. Let's see, editorial director. Now, we've been getting the International Man from you, and I've been probably posting 86.7% of your articles on there on Freedom's Phoenix, so you may see some traffic from that. So how you want to do some kind of newsletter thing we could help promote or do, I don't have a problem with something. We'll work it out.
Well, something so that you benefit substantially financially from it.
I vote that. That is a good idea, Doug. I think we should make me a bunch of money. That's a good idea. Let's do
absolutely. That. No, it's everybody. And what was I going to ask you? Ah, yes. How many emails do you have of various people that take the blog?
Our database, we kind of go a little different than a lot of people. I purge it regularly. And so we're down to like, God, I don't know, 30, 40,000 or something like that. But it's been as high as 150 or what. I mean, I just purge, because I didn't, you know, I wasn't like trying to see how many numbers I could get as just real people, you know. And the dispatch is under 4,000, that, you know, get the regular dispatch. But we just started when they did all the purgings and so on at the end of last year. We're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube and Twitch and DLive, all that crap now, where before I went dark because I knew they were going to do this purging thing. So I'm the only one of a lot of our friends and so on in the Liberty community that survived. You know, hello, we're here to say we're over there, and we did this interplanetary file sharing, IPFS, where it's permanent record. We just platformed all of James Corbett's videos. It's like a couple hundred gig that we put on the permanent internet, and they just did Assange WikiLeaks stuff now too. See, my whole thing has been permanent. I knew what they're doing, so we created. I got a whole station over there that we're generating old laptops and Raspberry Pis to be nodes on the forever internet, and it's a whole nother thing, man. You and I need to talk about it. It's a really big deal. Send him the link to the show I did with Corbett last week on this. Okay. You know, he watches that and he'll get it.
That's good. And so wait a minute.
Yeah, 15 seconds.
You've got 40,000 email names, but you don't send them something every day.
I'm sorry. What?
You've got 40,000 email.
All right, we'll talk about it on air. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember.
Your independence, me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU default studios of Freeze Lanesse, FreezePhoenix.com. And we have Mr. Doug Casey, chairman, Casey Research, best-selling author, world-renowned speculator, and libertarian philosopher. Doug Casey has garnered a well-earned reputation for his erudite and often controversial insights into politics, economics, and investment markets. He's widely respected, made a bunch of people a bunch of money, and you should pay attention because he knows what's up. I mean, because I said, all right? Now, in the archive, you go and look, you'll see a lot of the other interviews that we've done with Casey Doug over the years. He also has been a speaker at the Freedom Summit. We got to hang with him a lot of times and say, yo, what's up? And I've seen him play polo. I mean, so he's, hey, how's your health, man? Are you doing polo anymore? I mean, you know, that's a thing.
Well, Ernie, a man's got a limitations. And some years ago, I gave up skydiving. I gave up motorcycles. I gave up racing cars. I gave up polo. So the answer to the question is, basically, all I do is pump some iron in the gym three times a week, but no more dangerous sports for me.
Well, that'll you know, that's better than not. That'll do you. You know, I'm looking at, you were asking about our you got a project, you know, coming up. You want us to, you know, work on with it. I don't know how public you want to be about this or something, but you know, we got time. We didn't have time to finish in our private conversation. You know, what is it that you see coming that you have a new product for you want to do?
Well, Joel Bowman, who I guess you're going to have on next week, he's the editor of International Man, which is our website, which I'd certainly direct listeners to. It's very good. We're putting together a newsletter that we
You know, Doug, that, go ahead and kill.
Going to combine.
Doug, go ahead and kill your video. I don't think we have enough bandwidth, you know, to
okay.
It's starting to probably chop up a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably on my end. Let me see if I can figure out how to do that. Ah, good. Do I sound better now?
So far.
Okay, good. So, it's going to be a newsletter that's going to touch all the bases from becoming a Renaissance man and what you can do about it to improving your financial well-being, because as the economy goes into collapse over the next year or two, and I'm convinced that the long-term trend, which is been in motion for, well, decades, actually, and accelerated with the crisis of 2008, is going to get much worse. So there's going to be a lot of dangers, a lot of opportunities. So it's going to be a great newsletter, and I think Joel will go into a lot of details about it with you.
All right, we'll see what we can work out. Whatever role we can have, Doug wants us to. Yeah, the answer is usually probably yes. You know, so we'll work out something. Because I, you know, your perspective on what's going on now. I've been following you long enough. God, what's it been? Almost 20 years. And I remember we went to Mark and I went to Eris Society meeting in 3 weeks before 9/11. I don't know if you remember that one, but. It was, I'm going, it was one Ron Paul had spoken at. And I'm sorry?
He's been at a number of them. A lot of people, most people were return attendees.
You know, when I remember that one because we've been to a few, but I remember that one, first time we saw Ron, And I asked him, and I said, so what are you saying? I mean, he went on the same stuff, you know, Washington's bad and corrupt and the Federal Reserve and money and monetary policy and inflation and all this other stuff. And they pulled one out of their butt again. They lowered interest rates and they, you know, supported this housing boom. And they did. It was right after the dot-com crash that happened at the end of the 90s and such and early 2000s. And 9-11 had yet to happen, but it was getting going. So, and Ron predicted back then in the August of 01 what was going to happen, you know, the economy and so on. And I'm going, so what are you saying? I mean, to us, I mean, we understand, I mean, is there something you think we should do? And he goes, yeah. And he looked right at me and he goes, buy a gun. And I go, whoa, okay, skip to the end, man. You know, well, Doug, I'm asking you, are we at that buy a gun stage? You know, how bad do you think it's going to get and where?
Well, I think it's really serious because the economy is on the ragged edge now. The government has been printing up, not just the U.S. government, but all these governments, the Europeans, the Chinese, the Japanese, and all these little crappy governments besides, have been printing up trillions and trillions of new currency units. Now, that money has basically gone into the financial markets. They've used it to drive down interest rates to unbelievably low levels, which discourage people from saving and encourage people to get into even more debt. It's driven the stock market to manic levels. And as the economy goes down again this time, what are they going to do? Take interest rates below zero? Well, the Europeans have done that. So they could do that. Banks fail. Are they going to bail in the way Cyprus did a few years ago, which is to say, confiscate depositors' money instead of having the government bail them out? This is really, really serious. And it's more than financial learning because it's going to be political because all of the Democrats are actual left-wing loonies. I mean, these people are just absolutely beyond the fringe. It's social because so many people are used to the government giving them things that I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and riot, at least the ones that aren't on Prozac and Paxil and Zoloft that are zombies, or just sit in their basements all day and play video games. And it could be international military, too. You know, there was a time when I kind of supported Trump because he wanted to get out of these foreign wars. But for all I know, he's going to start a war with China in the South China Sea.
Venezuela.
He's going to invade Venezuela. And he may yet do something in the Middle East just to, you know, show America can still do that kind of thing. So it's going to be a scary situation, yes.
Well, I'm looking for a solution. I mean, is there one? Has there ever been one? When we left the last hour, we were rambling about whatever, and it finally, for whatever reason, I went over to neither will you be able to buy or sell without the Mark of the Beast revelation thing. And I'm going, you know, was this just a bunch of guys sitting around going, yeah, it's always going to come down to the consolidation of the empires and the kings of the crowns get into, and you can call them whatever the hell you want to call them, but it's going to be thou shalt do what, oh, I know what it was. It was a small town in Virginia. The police chief comes on a video and he says, all right, it's $15 to get this township sticker, and if you don't have it, we're going to be writing you a ticket for $35 for not getting your $15 sticker, and if you take that ticket and you bring it in, all right, we'll forgive the $35 and give you your $15 sticker. And I'm going, why? Because they can. You know, they just need money, and this is going to happen in every way on everything, a little fee, and every level of government's going to want to get some. And if they don't get it, they're going to give you a ticket. Well, at some point, you go Doug Casey and you go, yeah, my stuff's here, my business is over there, and I'm back here. We're going to hear about it when we come back. From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. Okay, I haven't checked my stuff for a long time. Yeah, the subscribers is we're like 7,900. So I mean, it's not teeny tiny, but you know, it's not huge like your stuff. But it's been purged a lot. You know, over the, like when we did the Levolution and so on, all that was gone. I mean, it was hundreds of thousands, just get rid of all that crap, you know. It's just, so we do like triple opt-in crap and everything. So I really feel comfortable with our database being effective, but towards what? What is it you're wanting to do?
Well, let's figure this out. The Daily Digest, then, is mailed out to 7,900 select people. That's excellent. I think it should be much larger because it's a... it's a good product. But you have, in addition to that, another 30 or 40,000 names of people that you don't do anything with, or what?
No, it's, you know, I don't know, because I haven't checked it that way. I got to check my IT guy what these numbers mean. Because I, see, this is one thing, Doug, I know everybody gets on my ass about it. They're going, how come you're not making use of your database more? How come you don't do that? How come? Because that is so freaking annoying to me to be bugging people about whatever. I'm just trying to, you know, inform them, warn them, and be a grapevine root of it going out. The money was never the, like this IPFS thing, the platforming of everybody forever deal, that could be making a bunch of money. As a matter of fact, we had a guy on yesterday. We've been, you know, a company doing this kind of stuff. Whenever you put a monetization layer on any project, the monetization becomes the goal instead of the project. And we're activists. We're doing the project first. What is it that we want to accomplish? A lot of times other people make money on it and we promote them because we're promoting the project. Our supporters are for that. I don't have a problem making money, but I'm not going to have the money be the goal at the sacrifice of the product that I've been doing for, God, 17 years, you know?
No, I understand that. I agree with that completely. But at the same time, people, I think, want to pay for a product that will give them more information.
Yeah, no. I'm, and this is where, you know, Matt Smith tried to help a lot, you know, at one time. Tony Marie was on him to, you know, get on my ass. And, but it's the email thing. You know, it's just really beating the crap out of, if you can, yeah, see, that's part of our privacy policy is that we did that we wouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. That's part of it. I mean, if you can read our privacy policy and kind of how we use this, but that doesn't mean that we can't market them. You know, turning it over to people is where the problem is. And I know, you know, it's, well, here, we're coming back. Here we go.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're right back with Doug Casey, international man. You know, let's go ahead and talk. We're talking some shop here a little bit, and we've known each other a long time, and we got common friends. And you get Freedom's Phoenix, you see it, and we're always doing something good about something, and got some good rep and so on. Oh, there's a picture up of you and Tim Pachote. Oh, Tim Pachote's going to be on in the next hour, the Liberty Advisor. I don't know if you remember. See, this is a good example. What we do. Tim Pachote is a financial advisor here that gave up his Series 7 and a bunch of other stuff because they said last year and a half ago, you can't talk about crypto, you can't mine it. You sure as shit can't recommend it to any of your clients. And you are not allowed to go down to the Dollar Vigilante presentation in Acapulco and talk about it. That's for damn sure. And he goes, nope, I'm done. Paid like a, God, it was some ridiculous $17,000, you know, fee or fine to get out of, and I'm out of here. And then it took him almost a year before they finally processed all his paperwork to be able to offer the services that he wanted, which included retirement and your 401ks and so on, and be able to go into crypto and retain the private keys. And I go, if you can't keep the keys, I don't even want to talk to you, you know. So he did it. And now, and he comes on every week, and we talk about it. But and you guys need, hopefully you guys, I know you've met him. It's just you may not remember what he was doing or how, but he did it. And now we're got crypto as part of people and all their retirement money that's sitting there, and they can make it part of their thing. And if you do a Roth or something, the gains, you don't have to pay capital gain, all that geeky tax stuff. Well, we promote the living crap out of that because it's an option for people to maintain and enhance their wealth in the future and hedge against and whatever. So where's my cut on that? Well, he advertises on the site. He does, you know, kind of stuff and everything. But he's helping my son-in-law, which is another financial guy, you know, works with retirees and so on. Then you had, so they're working together. Then you got, you know, other people that we support. We're trying to build be a good neighbor in this whole space and people aware of people like you, Doug, on what's going on, save their ass of what's coming. Me getting filthy, stinking rich is not the top of the list. I'm not averse to it, you know. It's just not my primary. You see my point?
I understand. Well, we're heading into what I call the Greater Depression.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to it, Ernie, because in a depression, everybody loses. The winners are just the people that lose the least.
Yeah.
But at least you want to be one of them. But the good news is all the real wealth in the world is still going to exist. It's just going to change ownership to a great degree. Now, you mentioned cryptos. I was a late adopter of cryptos, and I finally figured out what their real use value was. Bitcoin is a transfer mechanism. You know, 3/4 of the people on the planet use black currencies that are absolutely no good. Kwachas and pulos and dirhams are worth absolutely nothing outside the country that issues them. And the people in those countries, 75% of the Earth's population, need to have a currency that can be used anywhere and can't be inflated out of existence. That's the value of Bitcoin. But there are a couple thousand other cryptocurrencies out there. Most of them are just crap promotions. They're worth nothing. But some of them have tremendous specialized use value. And my guys, who are expert in this, tell me that they think, now that we're at the end of the crypto winter, since Bitcoin melted down from 20,000 to 3,000 approximately, that some of these small new cryptos have 100-to-1 or even unbelievably 1,000-to-1 potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now that can be life-changing with a small amount of money. So, yeah, I'm looking at those.
I have my favorites. And that's one thing. I tell you what I did. It was a couple years ago. That might have been 3 years ago. I go, all right, audience, I'm going to show you what's up. Let me tell you what the future is. So I took $1,000 in Bitcoin at the time, and I spread it out over several cryptos. And I go, what's the commonality here? You know, it's not how much the potential or the hype or this. It's the technology. You know, it's the white paper. It's what are they even promising to do and whether they're even going to do it or not. What the hell is their goal? So you had things like, you know, that's why you hear, you know, pirate communication and pirate money and pirate this, the second letter of Captain Mark, the third letter, the fifth letter. It's all about us, decentralization of everything down to, you know, bite me. Well, these technologies that support that, you know, like Horizon, you know, it used to be Zencash. They got, you know, a privacy thing, a whole bunch of stuff. Nexus has got, you know, a future. We have Monero, of course. Bitcoin Cash, I'm a fan of. You know, some of the others. And the reason I picked those was because of what their goals are. And then as time goes on, you see how close we're getting to that. So when they go down, and all of a sudden I got Horizons at, you know, $3 and something, Boom! I'll buy a bunch more. I mean, bunch. I mean, your bunch and my bunch are totally different things. But, you know, I get that and boom, it doubles. It triples. It does, you know. Well, why did it? Well, it's a sentiment towards its features. And whenever I'm debating Peter Schiff on this, or he's on the show, he's always, what's crypto's inherent value? I'll tell you what its inherent value is. Its intrinsic value. It's how much gold and silver I'm willing to give up for its features. That's what it's worth. Well, I need these features. Exactly what you're talking about, Doug. These currencies all over the world, they're not really tradable anywhere else, but what do they want? You do purse.io where you can get, you know, 15 to 30% off on Amazon purchases because these people get paid in Amazon money, would rather have Bitcoin so I get cheaper stuff. Are you familiar with purse.io?
I'm not familiar with that. That one.
Go what check it out. Purse, P-U-R. SE.io. All it is all these people around the world get paid in Amazon money. And so they go, I got so many, you know, iPads, I don't know what to do with them. So they're, look, if you come up and you do Amazon Prime and you go in and you say, I want this, and they go, yep, I will give you a 20% discount if you pay me Bitcoin to use my Amazon money, and then they ship it to you. So there's an escrow service that Purse is. It's a Roger Ver, you know, pushed this, you know, long time ago, and it's awesome. And it, you know, what you're talking about has already happened. You go to purse.io or just look at that. That business model is amazing, and it's working now.
There's so many of these currencies, it's hard to keep up with them. So that's very interesting.
And they just went to Bitcoin Cash too. They hadn't done that for a while, and then they finally did that. But the your new newsletter and so on. What's going to make it different? What's unique about it? What are you going to be offering?
Well, at this moment, gold mining stocks, which are not a good investment. Gold mining is a crappy industry, a good place to lose money. That's the bad news. The good news is that right now, gold mining stocks are about the cheapest that they've ever been relative to gold. So I think there are going to be fortunes made in these things over the next cycle, because I think gold is going to go up a lot. And the mining stocks can be highly leveraged to them. So we're going to, I followed them my whole life, and we're going to be talking about those. We're going to be talking about the cryptos and making them accessible, because we have some guys.
All right, we're just going to keep yakking as we're going into the break here, because we're getting into the meat.
We have some good news.
Yeah, I got good news. Doug's here. Okay. So this is going to be, as we're going into, here it goes, where a lot of the guys make, you know, the people that know what's up when things go to crap, they're the ones that make the money, always have been, and that's what you were saying in the early 80s, you know, on Phil Donahue. That's exactly what you were slapping them around about. And I've interviewed Phil Donahue. Man, he's not a libertarian. He was, and you go back and you look at his interview with you, he wasn't digging it. You know, and he sure as hell, once he found out we were, you know, revolutionaries here, man, he didn't like it. You know, we weren't.
No. That interview with me on YouTube with Donahue, it was actually pretty darn good.
I thought you did awesome.
Yeah, it was fine. And it was just before the national election between Reagan and, was it Carter he was running against? I even forget the guy that lost.
Yeah.
So it got a lot of viewership back then.
Well, what you were saying then is what I hear out of your mouth right now. What made me think of that is you were saying the same thing. You know, look, this is what's going to happen. Things are going to go to crap. You have all these, you know, undervalued assets that, you know, those that have any money or retained can go get. They're going to shoot up in value, and here we go. And now you're willing to include crypto.
That's correct. You know, there's a great deal of cyclicality to the economy. Recession, boom, recession, boom. Okay, we all know that. And that's something you want to take advantage of. But what concerns me is that within this cyclical fluctuation, the long-term trend of the important things in Western civilization itself have been going downhill, namely personal freedom. And that's something that people ought to try to be doing something about personally for their own life, their own well-being. Cryptos are important because the government controls the money supply in this country. They can do anything with it. And it's going to get worse because the government is going to come out with its own cryptocurrency. They're trying to get rid of cash. All governments in the world are trying to get rid of paper cash. Yeah. They want to see people use electronic money. Why? Because electronic money can be tracked down to the last penny. They know where it is, where it came from, where it's going, which is not true of cash. So that's going to happen in the U.S. And when the Federal Reserve comes out with its own crypto and encourages everybody to use it and makes it harder to use cash, you're not going to have any financial freedom at all.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, listen, Ernie, did you know that right now, if you're accused of owing $50,000 or more of taxes to
the
U.S.
passport, you can't leave.
That's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. And I personally know a guy who's been a friend of mine for 30 years. It has happened to him. So this isn't just some internet rumor. It's actually a fact, a genuine fact. Now, 300,000 people in this country can no longer travel because they've been accused, not adjudicated, but accused of owing taxes. Now, this is another thing we want to cover. It's what are your opportunities outside the U.S.? I know most people can't think internationally. They've got friends. They got family. They got a job. They need their job here in the U.S.
No, it's time for this kind of thing. I know that. I'm just wondering what role we can play and how we can help. But I'm just not... I can make sure it gets, you know, regular featured and promoted on the site and everything, but it's just out of principle. I'm just not going to turn over the database. It's not going to happen.
No. That's something you should keep control of. And this is something we should joint venture together.
Alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Paying attention. All right, we're back. You know, this is, we're talking business because this is, Doug and I, we've known each other quite a while. We're friendly. You know, I respect each other. And Doug's made so much money and so much for so many people. So they're like, what the hell does Doug have to say about anything? Well, as things are going into what's going on, I'm old enough to remember that in the late 70s, early 80s, when he was writing books and going on and doing preaching the gospel of a man, here it comes. And, you know, and people go, wow, they followed him. They made a bunch of money. Then it happens again. And it happens again. And it happens again for the same reason, same thing. And the lifestyle has changed. It's like, put your business here, your assets over here, and your body over here, and be a tourist all the time. Because if you get everything all in one place, they come get you and shake you down. That's just the way it works. How far off am I, Doug?
you're 100% accurate, Ernie. That's why I spend over half of the year outside of the United States. Now, I know.
Oh, hell, you're here that much? I didn't even know you're here that much.
I'm basically in Colorado during the northern summer, but the rest of the year I'm elsewhere, and I know that may be out of reach for most people. They've got their job. They need the job. They need the money. They've got their house. They have to make payment. They got a family. They got friends. So most Americans have trouble internationalizing. I get that. I understand it. But at the same time, there are towns right now in Italy where you can buy a perfectly serviceable small house for $1. Why would they give you a house for a dollar? Because the Italian population is in collapse. Yeah, they're trying to bring in foreigners that can fix up the houses and might want to live there part of the year. So there are opportunities like that all over the world. And that's what I'm trying to make people aware of. I know most people
Well, a lot of the things that you want to make people aware of is just the circumstance that we're in, and it keeps repeating. You know, there's, I remember as a kid, God, high school or something, reading The Jungle, you know, about, you know, the progressive movement going in and the meatpacking in Chicago and all that kind of stuff. And it was, you owe your soul to the company store, and they just kept repossessing and selling the houses. They'd do a layoffs on everybody. You couldn't afford the house. They'd buy it back and then sell it to the next worker guy. And I'm going, this is just, it just keeps happening over and over and over and over. And then you start seeing this trend towards Generation Next going to tiny houses, or they're kind of, you know, the vagabond life of we're Instagram traveling or so. And is that represent a large segment, or is it just that carrot, you know, for the masses to think that there is an out or something, and we're all, the rest of us are enslaved and we live vicariously? So when you're dealing with Doug and what you're doing, Doug, just Doug Casey International, man, you know, is actually doing it. It's an inspiration by doing it. And other people and followers, they gain wealth and they do it. And you live in a different life and you're going to different festivals. I see you all over the world. But the thing is that I'm going, this one, is it different or just more of the same, what's coming? Is it more international? Is it going to hit the U.S. more? Is Europe going to collapse? There's something else in this one. And they want to show, like you say, it's going to be GoldmanSucks.gov coin. I feel it coming, you know, and Bitcoin's going to be it, you know, and then it's going to be Bitcoin Cash is not that. And, you know, and now they're delisting SV everywhere because Craig Wright's being a butthead. I mean, all this ouch, quit it stuff going on. Is there anything different about this collapse that's coming that you see than the other ones that you participated in?
Yeah, this one's going to be, has to be much more serious because they papered over the collapse that happened in 2007 and 8 and 9 by creating trillions of dollars. And those dollars all went into the financial markets. Because you'll recall, Morgan Stanley and Merrill Lynch and AIG, all these huge financial corporations were failing. So they bailed them out. All that money is still there. And I expect we're going to see terrible retail inflation and lots of controls. You know, during the break, Ernie, we were talking about the fact that currently the U.S. government has pulled the passports of 300,000 Americans because they're accused of owing over a certain amount of taxes.
50,000.
Now, yes, now this is really scary. Not adjudicated, just accused, and you're like a Soviet citizen. You can't leave the country. Or, and you mentioned earlier, and you were quite correct, it's like being in one of these company towns where you buy everything at the company store, and you owe your soul to the company store. That's what all the debt in this country is about. And everybody seems to have debt. All these kids that go to college, idiotically, I advise against going to college, unless it's to learn a trade like doctoring or lawyering or engineering or science.
Well, Kim Kardashian says lawyers shouldn't even have to go to school. I'm with her.
I completely agree. I mean, I'm not a fan of Abraham Lincoln, but he was a great lawyer. And he didn't go to legal school. So it's a scam. College is a scam because when you go to college, and I've been a trustee of two separate universities, so I've been on the ground with this. All of the college professors today are all Marxists, socialists, collectivists of some type. It's really bad. And they inculcate all the kids that go to college with these really insane ideas. And a kid that's 18 really doesn't know anything. And an authority figure in college tells them that socialism is good. They tend to believe it. And that's why there's little hope for the future, because everybody goes to college today. Back in the 60s, when we had the last cultural revolution in this country, not too many people went to college, and the professors were not all leftists. Today, everybody goes to college. All the professors are leftists. They turn out young leftists. So I'm afraid that in 2020, not that I'm a huge fan of Trump because he's doing a lot of stupid things, but I'm afraid that we're going to elect one of these lunatic fringe lefties. And it's going to happen just as the economy is collapsing, and they're going to try to make themselves into a new Roosevelt. So it's going to be really scary. So people have to prepare before that happens.
Is America, you know, America? I mean, see, my thing is, it's always, we got to go to America, the shining light on the hill. America is better than every place else. It's a lot better. At least it's not as bad as this place and better, and let's go America. And I'm going, is it going to get to the point to where it's like, man, not in America. Is the U.S. going to be seen as the Soviet Union or China? I mean, hell, they act like they want to be. So is there some other place, or is it there is no other place, and you just kind of exist culturally amongst friends that think the same and they get your newsletter? I mean, you know, what do you think is going to be the future?
Well, I think that's a good point you made, Ernie, because the fact of the matter is that America is much more an idea than a place.
Right.
And the fact is that America, the place, really was unique in its old days, because it's the only country in the world's history that was founded on the ideas of individualism, freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of markets. It's the only country that was founded on those principles, but that's all been washed away. So the America you and I knew when we were kids is a dead duck at this point. So it's really incumbent upon everybody listening to this to figure out, wait a minute, my ancestors came to America from Europe or the Orient or wherever it might be to improve themselves. What's the matter with me? Now the American.
I'm sorry, now the American what?
People should do what their ancestors did and look around the world for opportunity. That's how they came here.
You know, I'm perfectly willing to help, you know, and people to know that. I got, you know, 12th grandchild coming, so I'm kind of locked in. But as time, they get older and a little bit bigger, I don't feel that I got to be here as much. You got to get a place for them to escape
from
to.
The fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Pirates. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with this pirate thing, man. We got a book now on Amazon, all the letters of Captain Mark, a bunch of, you know, laptop stickers and t-shirts and logos and build the ship and everything. Oh, have you seen the video of our pirate ship?
Actually, I haven't been on that website, but after we get off the air, that's the first place I'm going. Pirates.com, is that what it is?
Pirateswithoutborders.com.
Wow, piratswithoutborders.com. Okay, good.
Yeah, go on. Yeah,
right.
Patrick Byrne goes, yeah, you got to get it in French and Spanish, too. So we did. Because Doctors Without Borders started as, I don't know, French or whatever. But the you go to the site, and the top left, it'll say virtual tour. And you do that, and that was the first iteration. We have a lot of improvements we need to put up on it. But that's the video. It's like a minute and a half of the pirate ship. This thing's 1,000 feet long. I mean, it's huge. Well, what happened, a lot of people, you know, it's kind of serenity. We're going to live on it and do shipping, and seasteading's got to get their cargo from something. But but it's also a spaceship. And the way we're designing it, this is, like, real. And I was down in Panama when we first started the design of this and talking about it. 3 days later, Sergey Brin came out. The news story is he's building his own airship now, and he got that big hangar for the Macron back in the Pacific Northwest here. And then Larry Page is doing the flying cars. And all of a sudden, the Google brothers, man, they've been gone. We haven't seen nothing about them for, I don't know what the hell is going on. They're in their lair or something. I don't know what's going on. But I can't do anything with any hardware device without having to log in to Google to be able to use anything. And I am really getting sick of that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's very scary because at this point, Google is like an arm of the U.S. government.
They are the State Department. Did you read that Assange piece when Eric Schmidt went and visited with him? And he wrote an article like, WikiLeaks and Google or something like that. It was before he went into the Ecuadorian embassy, Schmidt and another guy came and wanted to explain it to him about he had all these emails and everything. And I think it's when he knew I need to get my butt in the Ecuadorian embassy. And what Eric Schmidt, went on, a lot of the stuff that they released, and he mentioned some names, and Assange went and looked at with fresh eyes on these emails. I see what's going on. What he described is that Google is the State Department.
Hmm. Well, and that's true of Facebook, too. I mean, they really inserted themselves into all these things. It's actually very scary.
Yeah, and that's what, I'm with you, brother. I want to, let's see if we can save a chunk of our people, and oh my goodness, they might make some money, retain. So But
what you were saying about, you've got grandchildren, and therefore you're tethered here, but you owe it to your grandchildren to have a crib someplace, even small, modest.
Yeah. All right, here we're coming back.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, we got Doug Casey on. I knew I would.
I feel good.
Where do I get learned about?
I knew that I would
not. So good! So good! Woo!
I feel nice.
Yeah, as bad as it gets, it's always good to have that you know where to go. And for generations, people have looked at Doug. I've gone to the Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, a couple times. And I tell you, man, that thing is a success because Doug's there. Because all these guys got, Doug's going to be here, right? Doug, right? What does Doug say? He made a bunch of money, Doug. I go buy whatever Doug said getting Doug. And I remember one of the things when we were in Aspen several times, you have guys fly in, they'd be meet because you're like still for a few days, so they come in. But a lot of it, what you've been doing, like you're talking about undervalued gold mines and so on, is you actually, I don't know how much you do now, but you were like Indiana Jones with your hat and whip and going around and looking at actual mines and stuff. You do any of that anymore?
Not so much, because I've got guys that, I've kind of been there, done that, and I've got guys that go out and do that for me, because it's inconvenient going to a lot of these really backward places. I've been to 155 different countries, and after a while, you get tired. It's kind of already seen it all.
Yeah.
But it is important when you're investing in resource projects, not just gold mines, but copper, uranium, tungsten, lithium. There's 92 naturally occurring elements. The world depends on them, and they all come out of dirt in the ground. So mining is a very important business, even though it's a terrible business for many reasons. But now's the time to get into it, because it's a highly cyclical business. They go way too high, and then they go way too low. And right now, they're way too low. So just a word to the wise, Ernie.
One of the, Pan American, whatever, the silver company, PAAS. Yes.
Pan American Silver, largest pure silver miner in the world, right?
Well, what I do is I have that on my hot links, not for any reason other than, to see the value, because a lot of the influence from you is I'm going, all right, what is the value? This is one of the major silver guys. Well, they go down to, last year or something, it was like $6 a share. Then it shoots up to 16, 18, or it was pretty predictable. Now it's like 12, 13. And the only reason I look at that in comparison with silver, I'm going, there's a disconnect here or something, but sooner or later, all of a sudden these mining stocks shoot to the moon, and it's based on what? What's the news that has them do that?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things is eventually the guys in New York that buy and sell all these stocks look at this sector and decide, you know what, I don't like mining as a business. I don't, and they don't. Nobody likes mining as a business, actually. But the market just sees that it's too cheap. And then if the metals themselves start moving, everybody piles into them because they're a leveraged way to play the game. So it's been this, it's been this way forever. And, you know, mining, one of the reasons, mining is so hard that I don't know why anybody bothers to try to create the raw materials of civilization. You've got to make a $1 billion upfront investment after you've made hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to find the deposit. It's in one place. Governments use them as cash cows. NGOs use them as horses to flog. It's a terrible business. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if in the future there are huge shortages of all these metals because nobody wants to go through the trouble and aggravation and risk of mining them.
Okay, so I want to ask you right there. This regulatory environment of, oh my God, it's amazing we do anything. Has Trump changed that? Is there better attitude, or is it just all BS? And what about the future? Are we going to get to the point to where there's a philosophy of get the hell out of the way, and we're going to be somebody again?
Well, for all of Trump's faults, and he's got plenty of faults. For instance, he's not pulling the U.S. military out of all these shithole countries where they're in wars and he makes their others, but. The answer to your question, is he deregulating? Yes, he's trying to. There's no question about it. But it's almost impossible because all of these agencies, and there are hundreds of them, have been set up by law, by Congress, and he can't abolish them. And all these, not just thousands, but millions of people that work for the U.S. government are used to doing what they're doing. And you can't get them to change. It's like moving an aircraft carrier with a canoe paddle. So I'm not very optimistic about Trump's ability to seriously improve things. There is such a thing, Ernie, as the deep state. And what is the deep state? It's all of these top congressmen and top generals and top academics in universities and top corporate guys and top bureaucrats, the ones that run all these praetorian agencies like the FBI, the CIA, the DEA. There's several thousand of these people, and it's not a conspiracy per se, but they all have the same interests. They all view the world the same way. So even if Ron Paul was in office, you're not going to change these people and the way they're organized and the way they work, and they just keep building the government bigger and bigger and dealing and passing out favors to their cronies.
You know, there hasn't been, I don't know, is there any legislation that's been passed other than the budget? And they go further and further in the debt and screaming QE4 and keeping interest rates low. I mean, this is, I would expect with these announcements that silver would have shot up, and it hasn't. Why?
That is a good question. I think the reason is because first of all commodities are cheap. It's not just silver. But the last time commodities peaked, and I'm talking about the grains and cattle and not just the metals, was 2011, 2012. And they've been going down since then. They're very, very cheap. So it's not just silver. It's all the commodities. So why have they been going down in the face of more money creation? I don't know. People are going to look at it later and say, wow, why wasn't I buying them right now? Because they are so cheap. Well, I'm buying them.
Yeah, no, I'm going, silver, see, it's down, Ernie, silver's down. I go, good, I get to buy more. Are you freaking kidding me? You know, this is like, woohoo! You know, I'm going to Donna over here. I'm going, how much do we got? We got a little something, something. I just get a couple of coins. I mean, come on. I'll cut my own hair to buy another ounce. I mean, here we go. And a lot of people look at, and a lot of them look at crypto that way because they think it has a much higher potential going up. But I'm sitting, sometimes I'm going, yeah, when crypto took this big jump up a little bit, you know, I had gotten, you know, bought a couple of Bitcoin Cash at, you know, $80, $90 just out of principle, you know, and then it's going, now it's up to over 300, and I'm going, yeah, I'd probably go up, but I don't know. I think I should be buying some silver with it. Well, you go to Roberts & Roberts brokerage at the top left of freedomsphoenix.com. They take crypto for precious metals. Boom, problem solved. You know, so this is, oh, that's a good thing. Check this out, Doug. We talked with Tim Fry over at Roberts & Roberts. He already does this with Badnarik's books, about Michael Badnarik. And I go, can we have to where somebody can go to you, open up an account, buy some silver, and then they got a little checkbox and send a little something-something to Ernie? I mean, I would promote, because I want them to get an account. I want them to start buying silver. I don't want them to send me something, you know? So can we do it? He goes, yeah, we're already doing it with Michael. I'm going, hell yeah. So we'll make that a thing. Do you think that's a good idea, did? Are we going to get in trouble with somebody for doing that?
Almost anything you do can get you in trouble today, Ernie. That's what, there was a book. Are we still on the air?
Yeah, it's we're going into, you know, the end, but we can still yak it, and it's still being streamed and everything. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Because I was going to say there were only three crimes that were defined in the U.S. Constitution. Counterfeiting, treason, and piracy. But there was a book written a few years ago by a guy named Silverglate and he points out that the average American, whether he knows it or not, probably commits about five crimes a day. That's how many federal laws there are. So, yeah, I'm sure we're breaking the law right now somehow.
Absolutely! And glad! Doug Casey, the international man. Casey Research.
Special alert.
There. Got it. Okay, so what's the next? What's this? This is from Tim. He goes, Ken, yeah, Ernie asked Duff if he'd like to do an interview with me on Wham sometime. Hell yeah. Okay, Tim Pachote has been, Wham is World Alternative Media. Josh Segerson and John Simon, they got, you know, 100,000+ subscribers and so on. And they've asked Tim Pachote to be one of their content providers. And he's been interviewing, you know, people all over the place. I highly recommend the young man, Tim Pachote. Can I hook you guys up?
Yeah, for sure, Ernie. Why not?
Yeah. You need to talk to him. You'd like him. He'd be one of your new best friends. You know, okay. And we're working with him and my son-in-law and different. I'm trying to. All right, I'll give you an example. I'm 58. So a lot of my friends, contemporaries in the movement over the last 30 years, we were kids coming out. They're retiring now. And a lot of them made out better than most, you know. So what we're doing it. Oh, is that Tim there?
Yeah, see if they can. He's been interviewing, you know, people.
Okay, Tim, can you hear us, Tim?
Young man, Tim Pachote. Can I hook you guys up?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I take him off. You know, it's overlapping, and he's got it playing through on something else. He's not
just
sitting there.
Send him an email, or that'll do.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah, no, we'll do that. Well, so I wanted the people that are retiring now. They got all this money in their 401, whatever the hell. And where do we put it? How do we put it? Can we do crypto? A little bit of how, you know? And Tim's hooking them up. So it's I think there might be something all of us could work on, do something. Especially Tim is, man, he's sitting, he's all geekified. He's the one that got us on all our streaming platforms. He's very technophobe on being able to get the message out, and he produces a lot of content, and he's a young guy. He's like mid-30s or something. So it's, we'll do it. And I tell you what, if you'll work with Tim on what you're talking about, he will help integrate what we're doing in it, and we can work together, and we'll make use of our database to be able to communicate what's going on. And can I have you talk to Tim about it too, because we were already working on stuff, and he would be the guy I go to for the help to integrate anyway.
That's good. No, we're not on the air now, are we?
No, but we're recording. You want me to stop?
No, that's okay, because I was going to say, I could tell you the story, very interesting story, about a mercenary I was talking
to. Yeah, we got 5 minutes. Go.
To one time. I'll tell you a whole story later when I see you. But the end of the story was, when I gave him my plan, he wanted to overthrow a government. And I gave him my plan for what you do with the government once you overthrow it. And I remember his words as clearly as they're burned in my mind. He said, God damn, Doug, that's a hell of an idea. You know, them C-47s and miniguns are going to be just as good in the morning as they are the night before when we turn that army into the biggest jogging team in South America. Let's cookie cutter this motherfucker and take the show on the road.
God. And
I think that's something that we ought to do. I think that your radio show should have an audience of hundreds of thousands, not just thousands.
I give you a perfect example. World Alternative Media, Josh Segerson, he's doing great and getting out the word and so on, but he doesn't have any web pages or anything. He just had a YouTube channel. Well, as he's doing this, his goal was to hit 100,000. Right before Christmas, he's going to visit family, and his girlfriend stopped by here for a night and go to Sky Harbor from Vegas, and they go to Canada. In that, I'm downloading them and all the stuff we're doing and everything and so on. He's like, I hit 100,000, man. This is it. I reached my goal. Woohoo! And I go, and now you're targeted. I go, I tell you, it's 100,000. When you hit 100,000, all of a sudden, here comes the, you know, shadow banning and that. All of a sudden, by the time I went to Narcopoco in early February, what happened? 90% of all of these content providers' revenue went to crap. Boom. They're 10% revenue of what they were. You have Free Thought Project. They're being nailed. All these guys, they're just content providers are going away. But my traffic doubled, tripled. Why? Because I wasn't depending on social media. I didn't go back on social media. I went dark in 11 because I could see what was coming. And we just went back. We're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube and all the other stuff now after being quiet for years. Because I knew this was coming, Doug. They just wiped all these alternative views off the planet, and I'm here, and it's going to be, and I'm already starting to get the notices of you're not allowed, and you know, weird, I had Corbett on last night. I'm sending him show notes and so on. Oh, you can't send that because it had some link in there they didn't want me to be able to send. And I'm going, it's coming slamming down, and whatever you and I plan on doing or how we do it, we got to be very creative in how we're sharing. And it's going to be, they're shut, so that's why we did the interplanetary file sharing thing, the IPFS. Donna sent you the interview I did with James Corbett a couple of weeks ago on this, and it just kind of explains it, and we were talking yesterday too. But I want to make sure you know that there is a communication mechanism that's outside the system, and that's what we've been doing. And I'm going, yeah, we've been working on this for a while. We just turned it on like January, and this is what I'm building on. So everybody's going, you got to build up. How come you're not so bigger? How come you're not all? How come Ernie? You got to go because I'm not doing it their way. Because it goes away in a nano moment, and I refuse to let these fuckers control me like that. So we did it differently. Now we got a foundation to build on. Now I got something they can't turn off. Now I got, you know, hundreds and hundreds and terabytes of data that's available that they can't stop. Now I'm willing to build on that working with you. But we've talked about this over the years before, but there wasn't a platform for me to do it that they couldn't just flip the switch, and they definitely want to flip the switch on me. And you and all our friends, you know. So now I'm willing to talk more about it. And then Tim understands a lot of this stuff. And he speaks, you know, financial geek like you. So, you know, that helped.
Do you know Joe Rogan by any chance?
No. Of course, I know who he is and watch his stuff. But, you know, I haven't really made an attempt. I mean, you know, they're in a stratosphere of higher. You know, Doug's got to tell them to talk to Ernie.
That's interesting. Because I haven't listened to his show all the way through because they're 2 and 3 hour shows, but I like them because you know, they're conversations that are very, very interesting. And do you think is that a format?
We can do it. You know, in fact, we do. You know, here, I tell you what. We're coming in, and I got two. Can you hear me, Tim?
Yes. Hello, Ernie.
Yeah, you know, Tim's on Zoom here. Can you hold on? Can you go another segment, Tim? Hang with us for a little bit.
Go all the way through. Because I got to run soon, Ernie.
Okay. You know what? Tim, say hello.
Hi, Doug. Hi, audience.
Yeah. Tim, you've met before. When can we talk? I tell you what, Donna, my people get with your people, and we'll just have a private conversation. We'll work it out, okay?
Yeah, and we'll loop Joel Bowman into this when you talk to him next week.
Okay, we'll set it for after that. After I get to talk to him, you and I and him, we'll work it out.
That's very good, Ernie.
All right, peace, brother. It's good talking to you. I look forward to talking to you again.
Likewise. Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.